From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 234, recorded live Thursday, September 23rd, 2010. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik RAD Controls, the most comprehensive suite of components for Windows Forms and ASP.NET web applications. Online at www.telerik.com. In this episode about getting things done, Scott talks with Lane Newsom.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman, and this is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, I'm talking with Lane Newsom. She's a former Microsoftie and now in the MBA program at Vanderbilt. And she is a practitioner and enthusiast of GTD, getting things done. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm sad to admit, I have got almost 500 emails in my inbox, and I was down to like 40 or 50 yesterday. And, I've got all the folders set up. I've read the Getting Things Done book, but I've fallen off the wagon. Can you start at the beginning and remind me what the basics of getting things done are?
Absolutely. Well, one of the best parts about GTD is that you actually can get back on the wagon pretty easily. For me, it's actually a big stress reliever when I get back on the wagon. So the basics of GTD are, the first step is you want to make sure you're collecting everything that goes through your head. Oh, I need to do this. I need to reply to this email. Every task that might come up that you think of, just collect it. Collect it in some place. Some, common collection places are your email inbox, which obviously is a high traffic area for you. I also have, personally, I have notebooks everywhere. I have notebooks next to my bed, in my car. I use the audio recording feature on my cell phone just to make notes to myself. And that's the collect phase. And that's basically to make sure that you don't forget about anything. Every thought that's popped into your head, I need to pick up dog food at the grocery store, or I need to get my car maintained, or something work-related, it's basically to make sure that you don't forget about anything and you've captured it. The next step is actually processing all of that, and that's kind of the next step for you with your 400 email inbox, is processing all those notes to yourself. So what do each of those 400 emails mean? Do you have to actually reply to all of them? Do you need to read them? Or do you need to start a whole new project based on those emails? And so you have to take some dedicated time each day, and for you it may be multiple times a day, to just sit and process all of those. And the important part in that phase is that you don't have to actually do everything on your to-do list right then. You can put a task on your to-do list, okay, I have to deal with this later. And for me, that was one of the most freeing things when I started doing GTD, was realizing that I don't have to do everything as soon as it comes in, but I do need to decide what I need to do about it later. That's the second phase. The third phase is organizing, and that's basically making sure that you set yourself up to get things done when you're able to. So when you're sitting at your desk and you have access to a phone, you can make phone calls. If you're driving in your car, you probably don't want to make those phone calls. Or if you are in the grocery store. So what you want to do is make sure that when you have access to a phone, you have your to-do list for at your phone. So right now I have a phone list that's probably about 7 calls, different calls I need to make, both personal and work-related. And then the next is reviewing, and that's probably the most important step for me, the most helpful phase, and that's looking at your to-do list, making sure you review it. I usually review, the book actually suggests about once a week. For me, enough stuff comes in that I try and actually do it probably about twice a week. It's just to look at my entire to-do list, make sure that nothing's fallen through the cracks and I'm getting things done when they need to happen. And then lastly is just doing, looking at your to-do list and getting stuff done. So I'm sitting by the phone and I'm going to make some phone calls now. I pull out my, to-do list for at my phone and start making phone calls and start crossing stuff off. So those are the basic 5 phases.
so it feels to me, like I'm just kind of applying this to myself, that I'm spending a lot of time staring at Outlook, moving stuff around, as opposed to formally calling out that I am in the process phase. Like, you're very clear about what the process phase and the review phase are, but for me, I don't feel like they are very well delineated. Do you say to yourself, all right, I'm done processing and I am now reviewing?
Like, do you know, I don't, those? You know, when I very first started with GTD, I was a little bit more defined about how I was spending my time. As I've gotten more comfortable with the process, and it didn't take much time, I started, there's a little bit of bleeding there. And part of that comes from, you know, I used to work at Microsoft, so I understand your pain with the 400 emails. Stuff comes in and people expect you to respond to stuff quickly. And at a minimum, you know, if you have a minute to check your email, you know, you do that sort of emergency, okay, what do I need to respond to right now? And that's kind of dealing with work as it comes in, and you know, you have to allow yourself flexibility to do that. And so there might be a little bit of processing there. There might be a little bit of just doing right there. And so it bleeds a little bit. But when you have a moment to sit and process, you can crank through 100 emails fairly quickly if you're not actually, you know, taking actions and you're just processing. So it's helpful. You know, one of the rules or one of the suggestions of the GTD program is to implement a 2-minute rule. So as you're processing, let's say, you know, after we're done here, you have 15 minutes to sit and process your email. If you come along an email that has a 2-minute action, something that will take 2 minutes or less, a quick yes or no reply or a forwarding to a colleague, go ahead and take care of it right then. There's a lot of stuff that can be taken care of in 2 minutes or less. And he suggests going ahead and doing actions that are 2 minutes or less. Go ahead and do them while you're processing. And then you don't have to go back and do them later. So there's a little bit of overlap. I don't think it has to be so completely delineated, but it actually does help to have time dedicated just to processing, especially when you're talking about the volume of emails that you encounter on a daily basis.
Do you schedule that? I mean, do you put in your schedule 3 p.m. Friday, we'll, you know, review inbox and then sit down and do it?
I used to. And that was a big help for me, especially scheduling the weekly review. I would schedule at least an hour, if not two, on, I usually did it on Friday mornings because then I had time to address something if I'd let something fall for a week and I still had time while people were still in the office. So the weekly review I used to have on my calendar, and if I ever feel like I'm not doing it frequently enough, I'm not having the discipline to do it, I'll throw it back on my calendar. But I've gotten into enough of a habit now that I start to feel stressed out if I haven't done a weekly review and assessment of everything I have to do. So, you know, for me, it's almost a form of stress relief. If I start feeling stressed, I know I'm not doing my review frequently enough. So, in terms of the daily processing, I don't really schedule time for it. Typically, that's the first thing I do in the morning is process emails. So I make sure to allow myself a few extra minutes in the morning just to process email. And that can take anywhere from 15 minutes to half an hour. For someone who's getting the kind of volume of email that you are, you might need to schedule an hour for that. And then just sort of start your day better. And then, you know, as you have time throughout the day, 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, you can keep up with the system. But if you haven't had a chance all day, you know, I would suggest taking half an hour at the end of the day just to process email. And that's not, you know, like I said, it's not replying to email necessarily. It's just deciding, what does this email mean? Do I need to take action on this? And by when do I need to do that?
Okay. So I think I get that part. I'm looking at my, now I have an inbox and I also have an inbox CC. So I've formally pulled out a second inbox. So I've made the determination that if I am CC'd on something, it is less important than if I am directly mailed. And that's helped a lot. I've got 250 mails in my CC list and I've got 170 in my inbox. So I can go into my CC and I could spend 10 minutes here and I could go delete, delete, don't need that, delete, delete. And I could do that and then take about 5 or 10 minutes. And then I would have effectively, I'm sure that in about 10 minutes, I could clear out my CC because most of it is FYI, right?
Right.
It's either reference or it's either reference, some action required, or I don't need it.
Right.
On the inbox side, this is, you know, like here we go. I need to renew a prescription. And that's right next to a mail from legal affairs. With, you
right.
know, these mails are effectively peers within the inbox until I assign value to them.
Right.
One is easy when I'm near a website, when I'm near a web browser, I'll renew my prescription. But this legal and corporate affairs one, this could be a huge thing. This could turn into a day-long project.
Right.
Now what?
Right. Well, that's an excellent point. And that's the distinction that GTD makes between projects and next actions. So a lot of your to-do items that come out of your email box may be simple, like renewing a prescription. And that's a one single next action. You need to be near a web browser. So that's an easy action to take. But there's tons of stuff that's going to come up that's going to require more than just a simple action. And the GTD system calls those projects. And basically anything that requires multiple steps could be considered a project. So right now, I think on my to-do list, I have around 25 projects that are ongoing. And so what I do, I use Outlook, and I have a category in my tasks called projects. And what I do is I gather all the information that I have on that project, emails, you know, files, notes to myself, and I keep them all in that task. And so I create a project, and what I try to always make sure is that I always have a next step on that project. So whether the next step is to look up an article that I need to reference for a project, or contact a person from the legal department to ask them a question. So those are next physical actions, and so mm-hmm. you're going to have multiple tasks associated with that project, and you just want to make sure that you're always making progress on those projects. And that's a big part of the weekly review as well, and is making sure that you go through all of your documentation on your projects. So, you know, and that can be a quick, fast process, or it can be a little bit slower if you need to take some time. But, you know, I go through all my notes that I've gathered over the past week on this particular project. I make sure I'm making progress on it when I do my weekly review. And if I haven't made any progress, I have to sit and think about what is literally the very next action that I need to take on this. And then that goes on to my to-do list to make sure that the next time I have a chance to call that person that I need to ask the question about the legal project, I have that on my to-do list. So that's how you handle multi-step projects.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the specifics of how someone would set this up. What kind of folders do you have in Outlook, and how important is the setting up of that? Because I'm hearing you say things like to-do list, but I don't know if you're using the to-do list that is built into Outlook, or you're using, you know, Remember
right.
the Milk or one of these kind of things,
right,
or if it's just
right.
a piece of paper.
Yeah, I've played around with several. I'm personally a little biased towards Outlook. I've been using it for a long time. So I've got my smartphone set up that it'll sync my Outlook tasks. So I'm a big Outlook user. The GTD system actually doesn't dictate a particular system at all. As a matter of fact, he outlines how to use just pen and paper. And it just is a matter of what's most comfortable for you. For me, a techie, Outlook is very comfortable for me. So I use the tasks in Outlook. I use categories for my tasks, and the categories are similar to what I was talking about. I put a context on my categories. So if it's a phone call, it's in my phone category. Mm-hmm. If it's something I need to do on my computer, it's a computer category. There may be times in which I have access to my computer, but I don't have access to the internet. So I make a distinction there. I have some tasks that are at my computer. I just need my computer, and that's it. I don't need internet access. I also have an at web category, and that's for stuff that I do actually need internet access for. So, mm-hmm. and the categories, you know, my at web category, that was just one that I created for myself. It wasn't outlined in the GTD book or anything. It just makes sense for me. So depending on what your, you know, what your context is, you know, if you work from different places, working from home, working from the office, there's certain things you can do in each of those locations. So that's how I divvy up my categories. And I use those in Outlook. And in terms of email folders, I actually only have a single archive email folder. And I used to have tons and tons of email folders, you know, this project, that project, which can get a little bit unwieldy because, as you know, you can get an email. Let's say you and I are working on two different projects. I'll probably send you one email that addresses both of those projects. So then it becomes, do I make two copies of this email to file it? Or which project do I file this email in? Because you want to hang on to the email, but you want to make sure that you can find it later. And the good news is that the way email search has improved over the past several years, I find that I really don't need to categorize my emails into folders. I moved my emails over to saved email once I'm done looking at them, and then whenever I need something, I just search. And it actually works pretty quickly these days.
This is the part of the show where I mock you. Well, actually, Telerik mocks us. Your applications that you're testing depended on external systems over which you have no control. Maybe you're being slowed down by those systems, their lack of availability, responsiveness. You want to do TDD right? Our friends at Telerik help you solve some of those problems with their newest mocking tool, JustMock. It'll let you do fast, simple, controlled unit tests independent of external resources like databases, web services, proprietary code. Unlike some mocking tools, JustMock works with non-virtual methods, sealed classes, static methods, giving you complete control of your code. You can get more details. You can download JustMock at Telerik.com/JustMock. And don't forget to thank Telerik for supporting Hansel Minutes on their Facebook fan page, Facebook.com/Telerik. Thanks a lot. You know, I think that one thing, that one big statement of I have only one folder called archive is the scariest part of the whole process for 90% of people. You know, you tell them everything, like, okay, contacts, I get that. Do it, drop it, delegate it, defer it. Okay, I get that. Oh, you have only one folder? I think only people who use Gmail really get that. They're okay with that. And Outlook people, true, you know, with their PSTs and their 50 folders, they can't let go of that having only one folder thing. I mean, how do we get those people to stop? I mean, my boss has 5,000 emails in his inbox.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, it took me a while to get over that hump, actually. The way I adopted GTD was definitely piecemeal. And I took sort of the pieces that I liked and the stuff that scared me, like the one folder. I didn't adopt for probably a good 6 months. And I think I was talking with somebody else who had implemented the system, and they were a fellow Outlook user. And they said, look, it's actually taking you more time to search through folders to find an email that you need to reference. And they said, think about how frequently you look for an old email. And so, it's not actually that frequent that I go back and look for emails. And so, you know, I'm already getting a new email on a particular topic, perhaps. So, first of all, it's not a task that I do all the time. And the search functionality has gotten so good that it means that it actually takes less time to search for an email in a single folder rather than looking in multiple folders. Because really, you know, if you have an ongoing project, you're going to have to search within that folder anyway. So if you're already doing a search in that folder by person or just putting in a keyword, you're already doing that searching. So why not just have one place to look? Now,
I see.
One thing to keep in mind, when I have an email that I have to reply to, I don't put it into saved emails until I've either created a draft of that email or made a copy of that email over in a task list. So that means that the emails that I'm actively working on, I'm not accessing them from my saved email. Saved email really is an archive for me, and so it's when I go and look up old conversations or need to find a piece of data that I haven't actively been working on.
I'm wondering if I have too many folders then. I don't have a lot. I have a system I've put online. I've got my inbox, inbox CC. I've also separated out emails that come in from externals. So email that comes from inside Microsoft is more important than email that I'm CC'd on is more important than email from some random email address. So
right.
That helps me in my initial processing phase. I have
definitely.
I don't have one archive folder. I have two. I have one where items do not expire. That's my archive folder. And then I have one where only the last 90 days of stuff. So I have reference and I have reference short term. And it is set up in Outlook and Exchange with an expiration date. So when something is 91 days old, it automatically gets deleted. That way I don't have to worry about, you know, email space.
Right, right. That actually sounds like a great system. You know, in terms of the inboxes, the different inboxes that you referenced, I think that's a great way of sorting a large volume of email. And like you said, if you are processing a particular box, you know that you're CC'd, for example, on emails, then that's a mindset that you have, and you can drill through a bunch of emails quickly. And in terms of the two separate archive folders, I think that's a great system as long as you are comfortable, personally comfortable with the emails that are expiring. If you're ever stressed out about, I hope I didn't need something that was 120 days old. and that's really just a personal decision that you'd need to make about particular emails. I mean,
right.
GTD is really all about stress relief. And so anything that's stressing you out isn't working, really. And so if that's working well for you, I can't see why it wouldn't. And that, something that's older than 90 days is probably not super relevant to you. So I think that sounds like a great system. That's not too terribly many folders.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to make the number of decisions that I make as small as possible. And after I've, you know, replied to an email, I just look at it and I think to myself, do I need this for the next year or so? You know, I don't even think 90 days. I just think, you know, next year or so, even though it's kind of a lie. Do I need this for a long time or, you know, do I need it forever? So really
right.
It's about deciding forever or not. And that seems to work fairly well. Where I'm getting a little caught up is I have folders for contexts. You were referring to like I'm in front of the phone and I'm at the mall and all the different kind of at contexts.
Right.
So I have a folder for at blog, which isn't kind of really a context, but it's like stuff I want to blog. That's not really
okay.
A to-do, but it is stuff I want to remember. It's my pile of stuff I could blog about.
Right.
It's not a project. It's not an ongoing project. It is a
right.
a reference folder of its own.
Right. And that's a great question, actually. And there's two ways that I would probably look at that. The way that I would likely handle it is with my someday maybe list. So that to me is a pretty powerful part of the GTD system, is the ability to say, okay, I'm not working on this right now, but I don't want to forget about it. And when I have a chance sometime, I want to look at it. But it's not, you know, in my active to-do list right now. Mm-hmm. And I have over 100 items in my someday maybe list. And what that means is that it's just stuff that, you know, it could be very important, like for you with blogs, you know, it's not your active blog that you're writing right now, but it's, you know, you want to keep track of it. Or it could be, you know, more of a long-term, I want to learn Chinese, you know, so it could be, I have a very wide spectrum on mine, and it doesn't bother me in the least that it's a large list. And what I do is, usually part of my weekly review, every once in a while, if I'm pressed for time, I'll do it every other weekly review. Mm-hmm. I'll take a good look at that list. And it usually doesn't take me very long because there's a lot of stuff on the list that I can immediately say, nope, I'm not working on that this week. Mm-hmm. But something like a blog idea, if you reviewed it weekly, if you reviewed this list weekly, I would probably have a different task for each project. I'd say, all right, someday I'd like to blog about this topic. And I just put it in my someday list. And then next time I have my weekly review, I'll see that idea. And I can decide at that point, do I want to do that this week or do I want to do it next week or sometime in the distant future? And so it's actually a helpful tool to allow you to say no to stuff. No, I'm not going to do this right now. But I don't want to forget about it. It's important to me, and I think it's a great idea. I just don't have time for it right now, or I have other things I need to do first. So I use that list a lot.
How do you deal with, and this may be a silly question, but how do you deal with guilt? I went into my someday maybe list recently, as well as my action. I have a folder for actions, which I think I need to get rid of, and found that about 10 different things were no longer relevant simply because I didn't do it. So then I felt guilty.
That is a funny question. I like it, though, because I've definitely looked at my someday maybe list and went, oh, okay, I didn't end up doing that. What that usually signals to me is that I'm not looking at the list frequently enough. So if some things come along, come and gone, an opportunity, that means that I didn't look at that list recently enough to add it back to my to-do list. So that's the really great thing about doing a weekly review and why I actually would recommend for somebody starting on the system to actually block the time until you get into the habit of reviewing. When you review it, it's right there in your face. And something that wasn't a priority last week may have turned into a priority this week because time is running up. And so just being able to look at those lists and be reminded, if you're looking at it frequently enough, you'll be reminded in time. Now, one other thing that I will do, if there's something that I'm not going to worry about right now, an example maybe would be a dentist appointment, not a super urgent item, but I need to schedule a dentist appointment. It needs to be, you know, around February. I'll go ahead and put a date on that task within Outlook. And so then as I'm reviewing my upcoming week, I'll look and see that task, and it's coming up on it as a date. And so at that point, I'll say, oh, that date's coming up, and I'll put it into my, you know, at phone call list to to make the phone call to the dentist to schedule the appointment or create a project to get something done. So
you said create a project. What is that? Is that a folder? Is that a mental construct?
Creating a project?
Yes.
Yes. I use, again, the categories in Outlook tasks. I have project categories. And those are those projects that have multiple steps to them. It's not just a single action. So I would imagine that maybe a blog entry would be an example of that. So if I've got a potential blog topic on my to-do list, and I'd go through my weekly review and I say, that's a perfect topic for next week. So I put that into my project list, and I make sure that I have a next action on it. So it may be doing some research, it may be writing a rough draft, it may be making a phone call to product manager of a particular new project or something like that. And so anything that's a multi-step project would be a project in the DTD construct. Anything that requires more than one next physical action.
And you're managing that only with categories?
Pretty much, yeah. I'm a heavy Outlook user. I pretty much live in my tasks list. And, you know, I take advantage of the capability and Outlook to be able to put, you know, a PowerPoint or an email or a web link within the task. And then I just review those items. Now, that's not to say that I don't have, you know, folders. I have both physical and electronic files and folders that basically hold working material. So, you know, right now I'm in school, so I have folders for each class, and that's where I keep my materials for that class. I also have physical folders for each class, and then at the end of the semester, I'll change over my folders, I'll file what I want to keep and throw away the rest. So, but in terms of projects to get done, I manage it mainly out of my Outlook tasks, yes.
Do you think, and how, all of the, we're talking about Outlook, which is very, you know, Outlook-centric, but certainly all of this would work in Gmail or whatever someone else wanted to use as far as they could use labels instead of categories, et cetera, et cetera.
Definitely. I'm not as familiar with Gmail's system in terms of tasks. Basically, anything that you can keep track of information. So I know that Remember the Milk is very popular. So any system, even just paper, you know, notebooks and paper, if you have any way of tracking information will work. So if you're using literally just a notepad and a pen, then you'll have probably a file folder for each project. So for each, let me think of a particular project. So if I was having this conversation with you today beforehand, I did some additional reading and I made some notes on stuff I wanted to touch on. If I was doing that all in paper, then I would just have a bunch of papers filed in there. And then when I did my weekly review, I would page through my file folder instead of going through my Outlook task. So there's tons of programs out there that will work, and it just is a matter of what you're most comfortable with.
Sounds like this is as much about just being regimented as it is about the system itself. Like you said, the goal is to be not stressed out, and it is to have a trusted system that you can count on, that that works for you.
Exactly, and actually, that's a key point: a trusted system that you can count on. Your brain will know if your system is working. Your brain knows if you're going to put off doing that weekly review. And so if it realizes that you're not hitting those milestones, you're not, your email's backing up or you're letting tasks fall off, your brain knows that, and your subconscious tries to then start remembering things for you. So it doesn't want you to forget stuff. So if it doesn't trust that your system is, you know, fully in place and it's capturing every to-do item you have, then it's going to start taking back that responsibility, and that's what stress feels like. And so when I'm feeling stressed out, I do a review and I just make sure I've captured every single thing. You know, one of the examples that David Allen touches on in his book is, he said, you know, we've all had that feeling of we make a list and it makes us feel better. You know, we're stressed out, we know we have a lot of stuff to do, and we make a list, and that makes us feel better. And there's a good reason for that. Our brain now knows, hey, I can look at that list and see all these to-do items, and I feel better because now I don't have to remember them. I just have to look at the to-do list. And so that's where the trust comes in. Your brain has to trust what you're doing, or it'll just continue to try and hang on to all those to-do items. And there's just too much to do. Your brain can't hang on to all that stuff.
I like that. Really, the issue is releasing yourself from the psychic weight of all the stuff that you're keeping in your head. I mean, those lists that you're spilling onto paper or into whatever your trusted system is, those lists are causing you pain.
Exactly. And it's a big stress relief. I mean, that's what I think that official title of the book is, The Art of Stress-Free Productivity. And that really is true. It's a big stress relief to know. I know for a fact I haven't forgotten to follow up with anybody. You know, right now I'm finishing up an MBA program, and, you know, so I'm doing my networking and talking with people, and I don't want to forget to follow up with someone. I don't want to, you know, wake up in the middle of the night in a couple of days and go, oh my gosh, I meant to send an email to that person and now I've missed, you know, a potential future job opportunity. And that's stressful. And so if I know I'm not going to forget something because I've written it down, it's in my system, and I feel good about that. So I can just relax and focus on getting things done.
Very cool. Thank you so much, Lane Newsom, for talking to me about getting things done today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
All right. This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.